But yeah, welcome to the podcast. Obviously, this is actually my first time speaking to you both in person, although it doesn't feel like it because I've spoke to you both enough via Instagram messages and stuff like that. But of course, Disney Jackster and Joe with the Ears, the two co-hosts of the Two Ears, One Mic podcast. And I thought, this is a perfect time. Well, you know, we're in the same channel. We're in the same field, in the same community. And I want to get to know, like, this is the whole reason I've started it with guests, is to get to know what sparked that magic, what keeps it alive, and what you're looking forward to in the future. But first, obviously, a quick intro. So, Jack, yourself, why don't, you're on top, so you go first. Alphabetical as well, I guess. Okay, guys, we had a little bit of issues, but that's fine. We're back, and Jack, introduce yourself to the lovely people.
Hello. I'm Disney Jackster, and I'm the one that's having technical difficulties already in the first few minutes of the podcast. So that's me and who I am. But yeah, thank you, Jordy, for letting us come onto the podcast. Me and Joe have been really looking forward to talking to you. Obviously, like you said, after talking so long on Instagram, obviously about our love for Disney and everything, and just getting to know each other in general, it's great to be able to talk face to face on here.
Absolutely. Sometimes my thumbs can't keep up with how much I want to talk as well, because when it comes to talking about Disney and theme parks, it's like my brain starts going and I can feel my hand getting tired because I'm typing too much, and I'm like, I need to pack this in. So it's nice to be able to just talk, and it's nice that your audio has cleared up now, so we can hear you, we can understand you, so that's good. And of course, Joe as well, last but certainly not least.
Yeah, I'm Joe over the years, self-proclaimed Disney adult. Just love all things Disney parks, Disney themed, you know, and that's pretty much me in a Disney nutshell. And it's been great to be invited on here with Jack to have a chat with you, Jordy.
Well, you self-proclaimed, Joe, but like, I can confirm from the little that I do know you, you are indeed a Disney adult. For the little knowledge that I have, looking at your background, I can certainly confirm that that is the case. And I usually, to be honest, this is a little bit different because it's the two of you. It's the first time I've ever done a podcast with two guests, so groundbreaking stuff. But you guys, like I mentioned, Two Ears, One Mic podcast. Talk to me a little bit about that before I start asking you what your favorite things are, because talk to me about why you're starting it. What's the aim? You know what I mean? What's the motif behind it? Where's the magic?
So I messaged Jack probably about a month ago now, saying, you know, I've got this idea for a podcast and I want it to be really community based. Obviously our UK community is not the size of what it is over in America. Mm-hmm. And I feel that a lot of us don't often get the same opportunities like this to come onto podcasts and chat about their love and things like that for Disney as much as the Americans do. So that was kind of the idea going in behind it, having a really good UK community based podcast. And that was basically the idea going in behind it.
I like it. Jack, what are you saying?
To be fair, Joe summed it up pretty well, but it's exactly what he says and more. Like, we, you know, we love Disney and we love obviously talking to everyone in the community, and we kind of wanted to create something that where we can give something back to them. And that's why, you know, we're massively keen on bringing on people who just want to share about their passion. You know, if they have like a specialty or if there's something in particular, you know, is it Pixar? Is it Disney in general? Is it like a particular Disney princess? Is it the theme parks, the food? Is it going somewhere like to Japan or American parks? We just kind of want to see what every single person's got to say, because everyone's got, you know, got a story and a love for Disney, and we just want to get them on and share it with the rest of us.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And to what you said, Joe, like, it is an opportunity thing, and it's something that, like, it's the beauty of where we are in terms of like just social media and stuff like that. Obviously there's a lot of negative to it, but like, if you have an idea and you think, no, I want to do this, then you can just, right, you know what, let's do it. And that's great. And before I move on to asking your five favorite things, talk to me a little bit about the community meetups, because I would love to attend. There's a small chance I can attend the upcoming one. But obviously there's been one in the past, and there is some other things you do. So I just wanted to, to give you an opportunity to tell, and it's not even a plug. People that are watching, people that are listening, this doesn't count as a plug. This is a kind of a notification about what's going on in the community if you weren't aware of it already. So yeah, crack on.
Yeah, so we had our first UK creator meetup a couple months ago in January, and you know, it was something I don't even know where the idea came to me. I think it was like September, Joe. I think I might be wrong.
Yeah. I remember you posted it to stories, and instantly I messaged you. I was like, great idea. Yeah. I want to be on board as much as I can.
Well, I was only posting on Instagram for about a month or so then, and obviously I got to know Joe kind of straight away when I first joined the community, and then I started speaking to some other people, and I thought, hang on, why is there not anything going on? Is anyone not meeting up with each other? And I know everyone hasn't really got all the finances, you know, myself included, to just go to Paris and a meetup over there. So I thought, right, what can I do? How can I make it so it's accessible as possible for everyone to meet up? So I basically put out an Instagram story. I wanted to see who got some interest, and, you know, we got so much at the start, especially, you know, people were like, yeah, this is a great idea. You know, I'd love to meet up. I want to make some, you know, meet some friends and stuff. And in January, we, you know, met up. We went to London. It was absolutely freezing.
Yeah, it was proper cold.
I mean, you know what? Before I go into how incredible it was, let's just say we spent a good half an hour, 40 minutes trying to find somewhere to sit. And it was impossible.
So, really?
Turns out, who knew? London is extremely busy.
Yeah, who knew that?
Who'd have thought of that? What day was it as well? It wasn't a Saturday, was it?
Well, it might have been.
Oh, yeah.
So, we went to every single pub possible to try and like, get a table big enough for everyone. We sat outside.
Ooh, in the cold.
And it was one little heater just above two of us. And none of us could feel anything from it.
But you know what? In a weird way, we were kind of in like solidarity with it because we were absolutely freezing. But we was all kind of like in this really like excited mood. So it did get better.
Yeah.
And, you know, people brought their lounge flies and stuff. And obviously people have spoken online that some have seen each other before. Some have been like, I've never met Joe in person before. Mm-hmm. Joe and Amelia. And then I've got to meet some of the people that I've never seen before. It's my first ever time meeting anyone from the community, so it was, you know, kind of like a big thing. And I guess from Joe and I like hosted it, we were just kind of like, oh, we just want everyone to kind of be like, you know, on board and happy with it.
Yeah.
And you know what, we had a really good time, especially when we went to Disney Store and we kind of in a way broke off into groups and just started exploring.
Oh yeah.
It was like as if he was in the park.
That's crazy. Brilliant. To be fair to the UK Disney Store, it's sad that we say UK Disney Store. Like there's one, but the one in London, they do a good job. Like it is somewhere that you can spend a good half hour, 40 minutes in exploring the different floors. They've always got a display up and stuff like that. And I always find the staff are lovely as well. Kind of rule of thumb really across Disney in general, but they're not afraid if it's not busy, they'll just stand and talk to you about Disney, which is, yeah, you know, we always love doing that. That's why we both started podcasts. Yeah. So, like I said, it's great that you're doing that. Honestly, it is such a good idea. It's unfortunate. I just live so far away from London, and the next one is a month before a Walt Disney World trip. So it's not that I don't want to go. I totally will go if finances allow it. I do want to see Hercules as well. So there's more than one reasons for me to be in London at that time. So yeah, get in touch with these guys if you want to be there, because it sounds like a fantastic day. And I'll be very sad if I can't attend. I'll send a video message. Dial me in. Someone FaceTime me. Right, but yeah, so that's that. We're going to talk about now your five favorite things. And just to clarify as well, like, I know this is all Disney here, right here, this doesn't have to be Disney. It really doesn't. Just kind of films in general, really. Theme parks doesn't have to specifically be Disney if there's other ones that you're thinking of with these things. But let's get the ball rolling. So, First, your favorite theme park ride of all time, ever. And just to let you know, guys, I'm not fully putting these guys on the spot. They did get a bit of a briefing prior to this, because like if you're anything like me and somebody asks me a question like that, I feel like most people can just answer it. I have to like go and take a pad and a pen and start working things out. So
I have been stressing all week over the brief.
But it's better that it's there, right? It's better that it's there. We'll start with you, Joe, because I started with Jack last time. Your favorite theme park ride?
Mine is Guardians at Epcot.
Okay, nice.
I think it's the best ride at Walt Disney World, and it's the best ride that I've been on. So yeah, I've got to say Guardians.
Fair enough. You know what I say? If you go and listen to, I was on a podcast recently, not to plug another podcast, but Orlando Adventures podcast with Russ, and I actually said that the Guardians was overrated, but.
No.
You've just got to define overrated. Some people like say it's like the greatest thing of all time ever, that's what it was for me. And my first time riding it, I got to, not going to spoil anything, but I got to the bit where you're about to kind of teleport, we got escorted out because something happened. So like, that's a fourth wall breaker. That's that. So, but I digress. I don't want to go on a tangent about that. I still think it's an incredible, incredible ride. So everything you said there, I don't think that's necessarily overrated. And Jack, yourself.
So mine is the Hollywood Tower of Terror.
Nice.
Solid.
Classic.
Solid.
Paris or Orlando?
Well, last time I was in Orlando, I was 13, and I did go on it. That's probably one of the only things I remember. However, you know, for me, it's Paris. It might be different when I next go to Orlando, but yeah, I just love Paris one.
We'll come back. You know what? I'll get you back on sometime next year, and we'll talk about an Orlando trip that you're going on. But I prefer the setting and the queue in Orlando. But the actual ride itself, the mechanism, and it's unhinged in Paris. It is like I caught my lounge fly in midair. That's how quick you drop. Like I'd left it on the floor. Usually I do the trick, you know, the put your legs through and like. But I thought it's Tower of Terror. I don't need to do that. And it literally like saw it rise in front of me like it had been possessed itself by a ghost, and I had to catch it in midair. It's absolutely unhinged. So I probably would agree that the Paris one could be better on that front. I'm not going to go into what mine is because otherwise I'll have to do it every episode, so we'll talk about that at a different time. But your favorite movie, like I say, this doesn't, if it's Disney, it's Disney, but if not, then that's fine. I just want to talk about obviously the love for these things and what started them and what stands at the top for you.
Favorite movie for me in general out of all movies is Goodfellas.
Wow, all right, okay.
Brilliant. I just think it's an absolute masterpiece in cinema. It's one of the best directed films I think I've ever watched.
You're not wrong, mate. You're not wrong. I'm a huge fan of the film myself. I'm a huge fan of kind of mafia films in general, to be honest. I do love a good mafia film. I'm intrigued about Scorsese calling up Dwayne Johnson to play someone in a mafia film, but we'll see how that goes. But he said a Hawaiian crime lord. So like, I think the final boss in WWE might have got him a role, you know, as a villain that everyone had kind of stayed away from. But Jack, yourself, what's your favorite movie?
So I'm going to go the non-Disney route as well.
Okay.
As much as obviously they're up there, I think it's a hard one, but I think my number one, if I was going to rewatch something that we could do every year, it's the Twilight films.
Right. I didn't think we were going there. I was actually talking about the Twilight films last night, which is funny, but no, go on. Like, let me hear why.
Right, so there's meaning behind it. There is meaning. First of all, I do love the story, as cringe as it is, I do. And I used to, I don't know if you guys ever went to like a, have you ever got like a showcase cinema near you?
Yeah.
So Jordan, have you been to a showcase?
I'm not a showcase, but I've been to a lot of different cinemas. So explain it. I've probably seen something like it before.
So obviously, you know, like the premier seating.
Yeah.
You know, when you pay the extra and stuff. That would be the only film my mum and I would go every year to watch in the premier seating.
Fair enough.
And to be fair, I just love it. Like, it's like, you know, like it's like a guilty pleasure kind of film.
Yeah, do you know what? It's funny because, like, and I'd kind of never really delved into this. And I was talking to Jay, my wife, the other day. Used to be on the podcast. So shout out, Jay. She'll be back at some point. So she's a huge fan of the Twilight films, also probably watches them once a year. And I remember, so I went to watch Twilight as it was a big group of us in school. I can't remember how old I was, kind of like year eight, year nine or something like that. So like 12, 13. And I remember going with, like, there was a lot of girls, a lot of boys. And like, I was kind of talking to one of the girls, and then we came out, they watched Twilight, and then like, they just fell in love with Edward. And I was like, I'm not him. Like, I can't compete with that. Like, I'm not Taylor Lautner or Robert Pattinson. Like, what? And then, so they were all just talking about that after it. And then I was just like, all right, well, I guess I'll just go play football or something. So yeah, maybe I look back on it for negative reasons. But no, a lot of people love it. A lot of people love it. And it's funny because like you kind of said at the start, like, people kind of acknowledge now that they're not the best films. It is a bit cringy, but it doesn't take away the fact that they'll still be like, still love it, don't care. And I love that. I love that in general. So, like I said, didn't think we were going down that route, but I love it. Joe, favorite character?
It's got to be the main man who I've got over my shoulder, Mr. Mickey Mouse.
Big fan of that. Huge fan.
I mean, you're his best mate, so, you know. But yeah, I just, it all started with him, and it's tough to not choose him whenever the favorite character question comes up. You know, is, like I said, it all started with him.
I agree. Very much agree, in fact. 10 out of 10, 5 stars. Best answer I've ever had on the podcast. Jack, yourself.
My answer always changes every single time I think about it. But, and you'd probably expect me to say Cinderella or something like that, but I'm going to say Stitch, you know. Before the massive hype around him, it was always him. So yeah, now it's a little bit different. Now it's kind of more Cinderella and that kind of thing. And I obviously do love the mouse himself.
Mm-hmm.
But Stitch reminded me of like my dog and like growing up.
Yeah.
And, you know, it reminds me of my dog now. So I kind of, like, I rewatched Lilo and Stitch as well the other day. So I just love how like crazy he is. And like, my dog's a bit like that. So yeah. It reminds me of my dog. So I've got like a bit of a soft spot for him.
It's a great answer. Do you know what? And there's anybody that in fact contends with, maybe sells more merch than Mickey Mouse, which is crazy. It's Stitch. Like, I was at Disneyland Paris the other day. Not the other day. That was a lie. The other week. I've not just got back. It was like a few weeks ago. But one of my friends used to, his daughter is a huge fan of Boo from Monsters Inc. Or at least I thought she was. So I saw the teddy of, like, you know, Boo dressed in the monster outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'd sent me it months ago, and he said, oh, like, so I was like, oh, do you want me to get this? And he said, no, she's a fan of Stitch now. Is there anything Stitch there? And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, what? Stitch. So I was like, just sent him a video and a load of photos. And I was like, this is just the one shop that I'm stood in right now. So, like, I don't know what you want me to get. Like, there's so much stuff. Like, with Boo, there's, like, one thing or two things. I was like, with Stitch. And then he was like, could you go and meet Stitch? I was like, come on, man. I was like, that line is about longer than the princess one. I was like, I can't be doing that. It'll take me hours. But I did it. I have met Stitch in Epcot last April. So, I actually love Stitch as well. And I think when somebody gets this much hype and still sells this much merch, but it sells, that's the thing. They start to become a bit overhated. But Stitch is a legend. Are you excited for the live action, or are you kind of in two minds about it?
No, I am really excited for it. I can't wait. I think it looks, from the trailers and stuff, I think it looks pretty good. I'm buzzing for it. But like you said about the whole hype around him, when I first went back to Disneyland Paris, end of 2023, obviously I haven't been, so we'll probably get into that, but I haven't been obviously in 10 years before that. I had no idea how massive he got. I remember walking around and being like, why is he everywhere? Like, he's literally everywhere more than Mickey Mouse. Like,
it's crazy.
More than anyone else. I was like, what is going on? And then, yeah, I just didn't realize that there was a massive, like, hype around him, like, in the last few years. And he's just gone crazy.
Joe, are you looking forward to the live action one?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the animated film. So the live action is looking good. I'm worried about certain things, but I'm sure that the Disney team will
The marketing's been brilliant again.
It has.
Which is fantastic. And I actually think this might be a hot take. I don't think it is. Like, people comparing the character design to the original Sonic design, and I'm like, that's crazy to me. Like, I like it. I think everything could be improved on and everything could be better. Nothing's perfect. But, yeah, like, I think they've done a really good job of capturing the essence of what Stitch is.
Yeah.
And I'm, like you guys, very much excited for the movie. Now, I guess, more into the parks. This is a park thing. This is not just your favorite snack in general. Like, I don't want to hear Greg's sausage roll for this. Like, what's your favorite park snack?
It's like a toss up between two for me. Always cheeseburger spring rolls whenever going into Magic Kingdom. I absolutely love them. Yeah, I know a lot of people say, oh, they're a bit too greasy, they're a bit too...
They taste too much like gherkin for me. That was all it was. I wasn't prepared as somebody that doesn't like gherkin. I was lied to because I said I didn't like gherkin, and my brother said, oh, they don't really taste that much like gherkin. Complete and utter lie. So aside from that, like, I'm biased, so I'm not a fan of them, but Jay was a huge fan of them for that exact reason. So fair shout.
And if it's not that... if they sold out for whatever reason, is the Mickey waffle with chocolate sauce, bananas and fruit from Sleepy Hollow in the Magic Kingdom.
Mm.
I had that for breakfast I don't know how many times whilst on the trip, and I just think that's the best. As someone who does the dining plan, that's the best
snack
point.
Okay, that's good to know, because I'm on the dining plan in August, so I'll bear that in mind. I think it might be gone now, you know. I think they might have replaced it with something else, like a waffle sandwich or something. But Jack, yourself?
So mine is the salami slicers.
Okay.
It's a bit rogue, but, and Joe and I have spoken about this before, but honestly, I don't know why I just enjoy them, and I always get energy from them, you know, because of all the walking around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something so random, but they just taste really nice every time I have them. So I'm like, yeah, €6, that's me sorted for a few hours.
I like that. I do like that, because, like, I was worried when I did this that I was going to get the repeat answers all the time. I don't think that many people are going to say salami slices. So it's great to have a bit of variety. That's huge. Have any of you two tried the gyros in Disneyland Paris? Because one of my friends has tried these. They're like €7, I think. And I saw them, and it was one of them things that I saw them, and I kept going, oh, I'll get one of them. And then I was on the train to the airport, and I was like, I didn't get one of them. But they're in the, like, you know, like, they're almost like Christmas market tents. And it was February, and I was like, why are these still here? But yeah, I'm going to try one of them next time, I think, if they're still there. So that could make it onto my list. But yeah, great choices. Joe, I'm going to have to push you for an answer, though. You gave me two.
I know. I'll go with the waffle.
Good lad. I was hoping you were going to say something Mickey-shaped, because that always gives it an extra point when you're ranking something in my criteria. Oh,
yeah, definitely. I mean, anything Mickey-shaped tastes
If it
better.
Tastes like a 7 out of 10, if it's Mickey-shaped, it's an 8 out of 10. That's just how it works. Okay, and your favourite park?
Straight off the bat is Epcot. I love it.
It's Epcot. Okay, nice. Yeah.
Walking around the world, seeing all the pavilions is brilliant. You know, I absolutely love it. I could spend and have spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours in that park. It's brilliant for me.
It's certainly a experience like no other I've had.
Yeah.
And just looking at the ball is just looking at Spaceship Earth. It's one of them situations where it's like, your eyes can't make sense of what you're seeing. You know what I mean? Like, it's so strange to look at, and it's so beautiful. And it's such a beautiful park. Oh, yeah.
It's just such a different thing of of beauty. I don't know if you've seen the video of someone's asking somebody who's the hottest girl in high school, and they reply is Epcot Ball. And it's understandable why that's the answer, because it's absolutely stunning.
And the ride itself, Spaceship Earth, is so relaxing. It's so good. Just so like perfect for like that moment on a park day where you're like, yeah, exactly. That moment when you're like, just need to take a load off for a second, shock you.
Yeah.
Hop in there. So yeah, Epcot, great shout. I've got a feeling a lot of people will be saying that when I ask them this question.
Oh, yeah,
and it's hard to disagree. But Jack, talk to me.
So I would love to say Epcot, but like I said, I don't really remember Florida or two that well, but I do remember Epcot. So Epcot's up there, but obviously for me, it's got to be Disneyland Paris, the main park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the castle is my absolute favorite. You know, it's so beautiful, and the magic there, it's indescribable, really. Especially when you walk in, I genuinely do feel like I've stepped into a bubble, like I've just been like pure happiness kind of thing. My answer might change, you know, next year. But now it's got to be Disneyland Paris.
I love that answer. Shout out Disneyland Paris. I feel like because, well, quick spoiler for anyone that's listened this far, but a few of my guests are from America. So I don't know how often Disneyland Paris will get said. So it's nice to hear it get a shout out. It's working its way up for me for sure. I think when Walt Disney Studios has had this full refurb, I think that park could really work its way up there for me in terms of being my favorite, especially if it's got a Lion King section. Like, I'm sold. And I'm a sucker for like a lake as well. So having that in the Frozen section and stuff like that, and a water show at night, a second nighttime show, I just think it's going to help disperse the traffic across Disneyland Paris in general really well. Because that's the one thing I find with Disneyland Paris is there's not that many rides. Like we were talking about Spaceship Earth, or I don't know, Living with a Land is one, Nemo and Friends, that are like consistently 5-minute queues. Like you'll never get a queue for them. I feel like in Disneyland Paris, it's quite hard to find that kind of small queue just to take a load off your feet. There's PhilharMagic and stuff like that. There is certainly ways to do it. But I feel like opening that second park, Adventure World, I think it's going to be called, is
something like that.
Adventure Land, something like that, is really going to help disperse the traffic across the whole resort, and really kind of help elevate Disneyland Paris. Not that it needs it. It's an incredible place already. But yeah, two solid answers. Mine's Hollywood Studios, for the record. I will say that on every episode, because I feel like sometimes that gets a little bit too much hate for my liking. It's crazy. Like, there's no right. Just for a second, Fantasmic's there. It is the best show. And then, of course, you've got all the other shows like the Frozen show, Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid show is getting added back in. There's another nighttime show that's on just before Fantasmic on the kind of Chinese theatre. Then it's got Galaxy's Edge, which is probably the most immersive land in all of Walt Disney World. Rise of the Resistance. Like, I don't get it when people think that is like a half park. I'm like, you obviously don't like shows or something. That's like Indiana Jones, you know, you guys know. But I digress. They're the five favorites, and solid picks all around. Nothing I massively disagree with anyone. Like I say, I said Guardians was overrated. That doesn't mean I think that it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's just I think some people had made it out to be bigger than it was for me, and I was like, it was really good, and then I had that kind of little spoiler thing. It's fine. Hopefully I'm gonna go on it again, and I'll probably come back and eat my words, because I'm probably just bitter that I'm not in Walt Disney World right now, and I'm just like, no, stupid ride. Right, yeah. So we've got to talk in a little bit. We're gonna go a little bit deeper into what started everything. I guess this is where Disney kind of comes a bit more into it, and your love for Disney and parks rather than kind of being general. So Jack, I'll talk to you on this one.
So my whole love for it and everything is it's a little bit complicated in the way. I was always a Disney kid and everything, you know, growing up loving it. I always go on my Instagram about how I'm after my mom Kingdom Hearts. I'll be on it later tonight. I'm always playing that.
I love that.
But yeah, I, you know, like I said before, I first went to Disneyland Paris when I was five. And I remember bits and pieces from it. And, you know, I loved it and everything. And I went back again when I was like 12 on a school trip. And then I went to Florida, like I said, when I was 13. But when I went, I was going through puberty and the whole being quite a scroppy teenager kind of thing. And then I was getting the whole, you know, that mixed emotion of feeling a bit embarrassed to like it, but then also wanted to act older. Like I said, I've always acted older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I kind of not fell out of love with it, but just kind of put it to a side. And then it wasn't until I think like probably like 3 years ago, I thought, you know, start getting back into it, you know, when like Disney Plus came out and everything. And then, you know, my partner and I decided to go to Disneyland Paris December 2023 for it was a last minute decision, Christmas. And it was like the best decision I've ever made. So I just, you know, sucked back into the magic and probably more than ever before, to be honest. And it's kind of good in a way because like I've always said, I want to be that person that has like kind of like a hobby. And I didn't really have a hobby apart from like gaming and stuff, but like I'd be always on and off with gaming. But we're like now I've got Disney, and it kind of all makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, now I'm just like full on Disney loving.
Absolutely. I completely understand what you mean. I think I went through it as well. I did exactly the same thing. It was a good stint for me. Like I don't know, it's probably 10 years or something like that when I hadn't been to a Disney park. And mine totally was when I met Jade. I just kind of, I stopped caring what anyone but her thinks, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, and I was guilty of it. And now, it, like, if I could go back and I see that trend, you know, like, if having coffee with my younger self, like, we wouldn't get along at all. Like, that's why I've not done the trend, because I'd be like, I've done talking to you. Like, I'm leaving. Like, I wasn't nasty or anything like that, yeah. But I was just so like, I'd shut that side of myself off from just, I don't know why. It was just none of my friends really liked going to parks, going to Disney, all that kind of thing. So like, it was still there. I'd still watch all the new releases and stuff, but I never really was so open about my love for Disney. And now it's the beauty of social media. It's the beauty of this community that is in the UK and beyond, is that you're finding other people. It's like, oh, I can still have my friends that don't like Disney, but I can just go and make other friends that do love it as much as me.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great thing. Like, it's something I'm discovering as well. Like, I haven't even had the account for 12 months yet. And I feel like I've already met more people and spoke more. And it's nice to know that the person you're speaking to about it, because like, my friends aren't bad people. They'll listen to me, but they don't care as much, you know, like they just, Jay does completely, but I talk a lot. So it's nice to have other people to talk about it too. It's great to hear. And it's great to hear that it's not only me that did that, because you kind of look back and you go like, it's wasted time. But then when you actually speak to other people and you go like, actually kind of most people did exactly that. There's not that many people really that stayed. They loved it that much. And as well, that comes with not being able to go every year. It's not really something that is affordable to do year in, year out. Especially like when it's a family, like me and Jay are trying to do it now, but it's just the two of us. Do you know what I mean? And even then it's a struggle. But you just kind of, you know, have cereal for dinner sometimes and then make do. I'm joking.
I know the feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's worth it for the Mickey waffle. Joe, what about yourself? Where did the love for Disney and theme parks start?
Like both of you, I mean, I've always been sort of like a Disney kid, but I've been quite fortunate really in my growing up and being able to have quite a few trips going to the parks. So I just think I've always had that sort of holiday to look forward to, going to Disney World or Disney Paris. So it's something that's always been like a constant in my life.
So that's nice though as well, because it's like that to me, it's passed on. It's why mine started, because my grandma, my nana at the time, and my granddad, kind of didn't take no for an answer and said, no, we're paying for it. You're coming with us, to my mum and dad, because they wanted us to kind of experience it as well. And you're not going to say no to that. And I feel like that is what's so beautiful about it. It does get passed down. So yeah, carry on. Sorry.
But yeah, no, I've always had that sort of trip lined up. Fortunately enough for me, I know a lot of people don't really get the chance to experience here as much as they'd like to. So yeah, it's been that constant, and it's always the next thing I look forward to, you know, the next Disney trip or the next something Disney. It's always something I'm looking ahead at.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, yeah, it is what keeps me going, like 100%. When I got back from my honeymoon, it was just the first thing I wanted to do was book another trip. And I did, plan on doing that. And then we are going back. It is one of them things that turns in from a once in a lifetime to we need to do this again, because it's just a feeling like no other. But okay, so what's been your favorite trip of all time, Jack? Your most magical. Like the one that now sticks out for you, that is like, right, okay, that one kind of changed everything.
It's a toughie. So it's either the one I just mentioned in the summer 2023, because I got back into it.
Yeah.
But I have to say my most recent one, December 2024, mm-hmm. because it was completely different this time, like where I kind of, I wouldn't say I knew more about it. Actually, yeah, no, I did. I did know more about the park. You know, I was part of the community for about 5-ish months or so. Yeah. So it was my first ever one sharing live with everyone, and it got the excitement even more. And my partner and I didn't even know the trip was going to be possible until kind of the last minute. So it was kind of a, yeah, it's going to happen, but didn't know 100%. And then next thing you know, bam, we only had like a month to wait. And it was like the best thing ever. And, you know, this time it was completely different. We got to see shows which I'd never seen before. Didn't even know they were really a thing. Like, I didn't have a clue. I got to meet characters. I was so like shy the last two trips. I didn't even know, you know, I got back into the Disney bubble. I met someone my last summer trip, but this time I was like determined to go and find them. And I think that just stands out to me because sharing it with everyone in the community didn't make me feel more in the magic as well. Like, obviously, because I love going to the parks with my partner, and I absolutely adore it. It's my favourite thing to do. But also being able to share it with you guys just enhanced it. And I think that's what made it stand out so much, and why I probably had the best time ever. Like, I was there for 4 days. It was, mega Disney blues throughout January.
Yeah, no, I feel you, mate. I feel you. I'm still experiencing it right now, but I've got another one coming up. But no, it's... To be honest, a lot of what you said, I can totally relate to. That feeling of going with your partner, like there's nothing I like doing more than going to a Disney park or a theme park with Jay. It's where we're both at our best, I think. Like, we both just enjoy it. Like, it's our version of going on a night out. Like, that, I would rather do that any day. I totally agree. I think I had that same kind of epiphany when I was on my honeymoon, the most recent one to Disney World, because I wasn't sharing it in that sense, but for some reason I captured all the content, and I was in Animal Kingdom and someone came up to me and was like, oh, I watch you on TikTok. I was like, no, you don't. don't have a TikTok account unless it's my wrestling one, in which case thank you. But and then that was a kind of penny drop moment, and I was like, why don't I start TikTok account? Like, I've got literally, like, we've got 3 days left of the trip and I've already got 1,200 photos and videos on my phone, so look, I've got the content there. But that's the one thing I was missing, is it's all very filming the scenery and not filming myself, which was where I could do a little bit more of that on my most recent Disneyland Paris trip. And I totally agree, being able to share that with everyone else, it is something, it's something really nice and really special. Joe, what about yourself? What your favorite park visit, most magical?
It's my most recent trip as well, to be fair, which was end of August, September last year. And that was mostly because I was by myself, kind of. I went with my family, but I stayed in a resort by myself. I did the parks by myself. And, you know, it was kind of the whole reason why I started my account is I had this build up to the park, the trip, and, you know, I already had so many photos and memories that I wanted to share. So yeah, this last trip was sort of the best one for me, where I could sort of be more myself and be comfortable of sharing everything with everybody in this community. Yeah, it was a lot of fun being able to do it by myself as well. You don't realize how much more you can get done when you go by yourself. I know that you both got partners, and I'll be taking my girlfriend on the next trip that we've got coming up in 18 months or whatever it is. But you can get so much done by yourself. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can totally imagine. So where was that one to? Was that to Disney World?
World, yeah, Disney World.
So you stayed in a resort, so a separate resort to your family. That is pretty cool.
Awesome.
I bet it just felt like a solo trip, but every now and again you get your meals paid for.
Yeah.
Was that ideal?
I was like, oh, do you want food? I was like, yeah, I want food.
Yeah, no, that sounds absolutely ideal. It's great to hear as well, to be honest, that, I mean, maybe it's recency bias, but who cares, that the most magical visits for you two have been your most recent ones. Yeah. Because I think that shows that it's still alive and it's strongest right now. And I'm the same. I'm exactly the same, because like I could easily sit here and say that it was the first time I ever went, which is bizarre. It was the year 2000 and I still remember it. And that is crazy. I don't remember it like it was yesterday, but I remember being stood waiting to meet Mickey Mouse, feeling so nervous. I remember kind of walking in Epcot. I remember walking into the Fantasmic arena and seeing all the kind of faces like Scar and the Scar Zone. You know what I mean? So I had this moment when I went back on my most recent trip where it was like, whoa, I've seen this before. And it feels like a different life, but it wasn't. And now I'm here on my honeymoon. And last time I was here, I was six. So it was crazy. And it was like it. And then I got to see it through Jay's eyes as well for the first time, who'd never been to Walt Disney World. So it was like seeing it kind of through my own eyes for the first time as well, because a lot of change, but seeing completely through Jay's eyes. We'd never seen the Epcot ball, you know what I mean? And so she cried when we walked down Main Street, because it was just something that she always thought would happen, but never thought or never knew when, you know what I mean? So it's a beautiful thing. And I mean, probably won't happen now, but it was one thing that I always wanted to do, was a solo trip. So yeah, I'm jealous of you in that respect. However, I wouldn't change it. I'm not going to leave Jay at home.
So good.
Absolutely.
I managed to do Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, Epcot and Magic Kingdom all by about 6 o'clock with everything I wanted to do in one day.
Yeah, wow. that is crazy. And what is it that keeps that? I mean, we've kind of touched on it, but what is it that, because with you guys, your most magical trips being the most recent ones, it's kind of silly for me to ask what keeps the magic alive today, because it sounds like it's park visits. But when you're not at parks, what is it that you do that keeps that magic alive for you, Jack?
I mean, for me, I think it's talking to everyone on the community.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's what keeps the magic alive. Like, I'm able to talk to you. I talk to you guys every single day, and like, you know, it's just like a natural thing. Like I said, it doesn't even just have to be Disney, but just in general. Like, you know, we've got our group chats and stuff. We always catch a lot of each other. We're looking at our content. There's so much to go through. And I love it. I mean, Joe and I were saying that, like, our Instagram accounts, like our Disney ones, are basically our main ones now.
Yeah. People message my private and they go unanswered for weeks.
I do find that a bit like, I found it a little bit odd, you know, for some people at first when I first joined. When I just get like a random follow on my main account and I'm like, it's fine, but I don't know you. Like, I don't, like, it's obviously, like, if it's you guys, it's different. Like, I don't know. Like,
I actually, because my private account was never private and now it is private. Because the crack is, like, I'm, look at, if you want to see what I'm doing in the wrestling space. There's an account for that, and you can message me on that. That is a public account. And I've also got a Disney page that's a public account. So it's like, look, if you want to message me, you can. There's plenty of ways to message me. But again, if it's anybody that I know that hits follow, I will just accept them. But it's just there to kind of put that little bit of a barrier there. Because I was the same as you. People just randomly kept following my private account. And it was like, and to be honest, it's pointless because I've not posted on it in about 6 months. So there's nothing that they're going to get there that they're not going to get from the other two. Yeah. So yeah, I completely agree. Joe, what about you? What keeps that magic going when you're not at the parks, or is it just the impending park trip that is coming?
No, I think it's the same as Jack, you know, and it's talking to everybody that we've made friends with over the last, I mean, coming up for a year for me is going to be 10 or so months, I think, for you, Jack. And yeah. It's speaking to everybody and sort of all of us sharing our experiences and our love for the same thing we got in common, you know, and that's what keeps it going sort of every day. And it's just so nice to be a part of all of this, you know.
And there's always someone there, isn't there? That is the beauty of it as well. Yeah, when you're within this community, there's always somebody either going or going next week or there right now. I completely love to see, and you guys touched on it before, people in the parks that aren't Disney World and or Disneyland Paris, because as much as I love them, I've been there, I've seen that through my own eyes. When I get to see like stuff in LA, California Adventure, like Radiator Springs, and then Tokyo, Shanghai, Hong Kong, Aulani right now, for example. Yeah. Rob Kaz is there right now in Aulani. So like his story, the fine art guy. And if you've not seen his art, honestly, go and look at it. It's some of the best Disney art that I've seen ever. It's just like, and I'm not an art guy. So like, I'm by no means an art critic, but I've never really seen art tell a story in the same way that Rob's does. As soon as you look at it, you're just like, whoa, okay, I know. Like, there's the one after a park day where Donald's lying on the bed and Daisy's taking a selfie on the balcony, and it just tells you, know, you've been there, you've seen that. It's fantastic. And the one that he's at Aulani for is Goofy telling a story around the fire pit. And then on his Instagram story today, he was woke up at 5 o'clock because he's still on Epcot time, and then went to the actual fire pit that he painted. And it's just so cool to be alive within this community and just being able to see all that stuff that hopefully I'll get to see through my own eyes one day. But for now, I'm with you guys. That's what keeps it alive for me, because there's always something. Someone's always got something magical to share, and it's awesome. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a little bit of jealousy because I'm only human and I'm like, I wish I was there. Yeah. But I can totally look past that and kind of live vicariously through these people, and it's just awesome to see. So I don't even know where I am now. What's in your theme park bucket list?
Disneyland, California. I mean,
Is that top of the list?
It is, yeah. It's the one that Walt built, you know, is Walt through and through. And that's the one I want to see the most. And then, you know, you got second to that, like Tokyo.
Yeah.
It's always going to be Disneyland. Always.
What about yourself, Jack?
I'm the exact same. I've got to give a plug to Stefan Reese here. After seeing the trip and TikTok videos of Radiator Springs, I was just like, it's so bad.
I completely agree as well. Yeah, shout out Steph and Reese. They do great vlogs, so go and check them out on YouTube or Instagram, wherever you want. But the thing is with Disneyland, I agree completely. I'm scared that if I go, I will just be crying the whole time.
Yeah,
I'm gonna try, and I don't know if I can hold off for this long.
Yeah,
but my plan is to go in 2028. For Mickey's 100th birthday.
I think that
would be beautiful to be able, because you can do the studio tours and stuff like that. I think it would just be something so special about that. But I want to get to like D23, and I don't know if I can wait 3 years to do that. So we'll see. But I'm with you guys there. Well, I shout out all the Disney parks, to be honest, and Epic Universe, of course. But I will be going there this year one day included in a 14-day pass. So that is going to be an absolutely crazy day. But I know, absolutely. I'll just stick my camera to my head and I'll just live stream the whole thing.
We'll be there. We'll be
take a day off work. I'll let you know when I'm doing it. no, but that, to be honest, right, so that kind of wraps up the section where I'm kind of getting to know you guys. But it's like I say, it's beautiful to hear these things because I can relate to everything. Some of it is unique to yourselves, of course, but a lot of it is like, I can completely relate to that. And the nicest thing about it to me is the fact that everything that you've said is the most magical or the best has been the most recent things. And that's great because that just shows that there's a lot to come from you guys, obviously, with the podcast, with your individual accounts, trips booked. You've got it going on. So I'm excited to... Okay. All right. So now... yeah, like I say, we've got the nice sentimental bit. We've done the nice bit. Now we're going to get on to a little bit more fun. Could be controversial at points here. It could well be. We'll see what happens. But, of course, the first game, and this is the controversial one. We listen, but we don't judge. So I say it's controversial, but I'm not going to judge. It's the name of the game. I will sit here. And I will nod along, even if it kills me inside. And then we'll have a little bit of a discussion about it after. So, Joe, we listen but we don't judge. Talk to me.
I don't do the parades.
Okay.
Any of them? I did a 2-week trip at Disney World, Walt Disney World. Didn't do a single parade.
Have you never done? Never.
Not never, but I choose to skip them.
And will you continue to do so going forward?
I can't on my next trip just because I'll be going with my girlfriend who's never actually been to the park. So I'll sit through one, but I.
But after that, so okay, you're gonna have to elaborate on that, Joe. You
can just get so much done whilst the parades are on.
Okay.
You know, the queues, they go down in time, 5-10 minutes. You start to see on some of the smaller attractions. The bigger ones, there's no chance. But, you know, you can get so much done. Yeah, there's crowds and they're all over the streets and stuff. But if I can get on Haunted Mansion in 13 minutes, I'll get on Haunted Mansion instead.
Okay. Jack, how do you feel about this?
I'm in two minds.
Not judging.
So I do like the parade, but I got to go Cricket Coaster and I got a 30-minute wait time while one was on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not like Joe is, and I always want to go see one. I love the parade, but I would only go to it once, potentially twice on a like trip and stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So. Somewhat controversial. I, on our most recent Disneyland Paris trip, did not go to watch the parade. The reason being, I have seen the parade. It was the same parade that I saw last time I was in Disneyland Paris. Yeah. So I don't put them in the same level of a phantasmic in a sense where I'm like, listen, if the parade was in like incredibly good, like what was the one that was at Paris? The most recent one.
Yeah.
If it would have been that, I definitely would have gone to watch it because I've never seen that and I've seen clips of it and it looks incredible. And that I even may go and watch that every trip because it looks like it's not going to be the same thing every time because they kind of interacted with a crowd and what have you. And it kind of was different every time in a little sense. So I would maybe go and watch that every time. But the one that's on at the minute, Disney Stars on Parade, is it called?
Yeah,
where Mickey's on like a steampunk looking float, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, awesome, really, really cool. It's just that I've seen it, so we skipped it for that exact reason. So yeah, fair enough. Walt Disney World is a crazy one, but I'm not judging. I am not judging.
This time we don't judge.
We don't judge, but we do listen and we don't forget. No, I'm joking. That's not that bad. I feel like there will be some people that will agree with that, some people that maybe will. That is absolute blasphemy to them. And that's the beauty of this game. But here on the podcast, I ain't judging. Jack, what have you got to bring to the table?
Nothing as controversial as that. It's not really even controversial. I just, you know, Elsa.
Yeah.
I think that she should have been the last Disney princess.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So no more after that?
No.
Ever?
Not ever. I just think that the whole category of them, you know, I like Moana and stuff, but I don't consider them in the same field.
No, yeah, I definitely agree with Moana 100%. Did Tangled come out after Frozen?
No, I think it came before.
Did it came before? Right, okay. So who's come since? What about Asha?
Asha, yeah, that's the...
I like her, but no. Like, the film was good, but...
But she's not in that same league. Different. Okay. So Elsa, it stops at Elsa for you, and post Elsa, just Disney women.
Yeah, it's like good thing.
Disney's women's division.
Yeah, like what? So,
but I do have another take as well. I don't know how true it is, obviously, because I reread it. So, was Elsa supposed to be a villain?
I'm not sure.
I'm sure she was.
I think there's perhaps, so again, don't quote me on this, the original fairy tale that's Frozen, is it called the Snow Queen?
Yeah.
Maybe perhaps she's a villain in that.
Yeah.
That turns good at the end, because if you look at the story of Frozen, you could almost, like, the people of Arendelle kind of see her as a villain, really. We don't as an audience, because we kind of see what she's going through. And we feel like, yes, queen, you know, let it go. Build your ice castle and stay up there. But I guess if you were looking as a village person of Arendelle, that you could be quite intimidated. So maybe that is the case. I will have to research that. But that is interesting. I've met Elsa at Epcot. And listen, fair play to the person playing it, because, like, compared to the rest of the princesses that you meet, she feels cold. Not in a nasty sense, but it's not as warm a welcome in comparison to, like, a Snow White or like or even Anna. Like, she's all like, oh, hi, really excited. Like, Elsa's quite intimidating. It was a little bit like, okay, right, okay, cool, let's just get a photo and I'll get out of your hair, queen, sorry. No, but like I said, not in a negative way, still lovely, but she just kind of held herself in a regal sense that was like, okay, right, I'm not going to mess with you because you'll turn me into a snowman. So yeah, fair enough. That is a very interesting take. But I totally agree that I think Moana is not... well, I mean, if anyone's... You've seen Moana 2. Have you both seen Moana 2?
No, I haven't.
Right, well, then I'm not going to say what happens. But she's certainly not a princess. And when you watch that, you'll discover that. But yeah, no, really good, really good. I would say yours is... No, you know what? I think yours will be controversial as well, Jack. Because I think there'll be a generation of people where, like, Elsa was the first. Do you know what I mean? Where do you stand on the live action princesses? Are they Disney princesses, or is that just a different universe? Well, they're the same people, aren't they, I guess? So, like, different. It's... go on, Joe, you've got a light bulb there.
Yeah, that's a really good question, because you're right, they're the same characters, but in a totally sort of different...
I think they have more meaning, a lot of them, in the ones that were kind of like, for Jasmine in Aladdin, the live action, for example. I think that the story that they tell through Jasmine in that is certainly a more important story than the one that gets told in the animated one. Yeah. In terms of, like, not being silenced, and it should be her that rules, not Aladdin. Like, you know what I mean? So I think that they kind of give them more meaning in the live action ones than they had, but I just don't think anything will ever replace the original animated films in my eyes. But I'm not a live action hater by any means. I think, and they keep making money. That's the thing that people don't realize. They keep making a lot of money. So like people can say they don't like them, but if they continue to go and watch them, or people do, then they're going to continue to make them until we've made them all. And then we end it with a live action Fantasmic, but that's a story for a different day. So now this one's a bit of a toughie for you guys. I'm just going to sit back and watch. Refurb, retheme, replace. So for anyone that's not listened to the podcast before, any three rides doesn't have to be in the same park. So refurb, you keep it exactly the same as it is realistically, but you just improve it slightly. So you can maybe add in something a little bit different, or it's just a little bit run down. You want it cleaned up. You want the mechanisms. You want it to be a bit smoother. Retheme is you keep the ride system, but you retheme it with a different IP, a la Guardians taking over Tower of Terror. LA, you know what I mean? It's the same ride system. It's just had a new lick of paint. What the Muppets are doing to the Rock and Roller Coaster, that kind of situation. Or you replace it completely, get the demolition team in, knock it down and build something completely new. So who did I start with last time? Who did I start with?
I think you started with me last time. So it was on the Jack, which gives me time to think. Get it.
Jack, what are you refurbing?
Peter Pan.
Paris.
Mine are all going to have to be Paris, unfortunately.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
But it's overrated. Like,
whoa, you should have kept that for you. We listen, but we don't judge. But I can judge now. What do you mean? No, I'm joking. I went on it recently.
Leaving the chat. Bye.
Yeah. Get out. I'll mute you. No, I'm joking. Go on. Sorry for interrupting.
No, don't be. I just remember, like, I think I went in summer. I went on it and I was excited because everyone's been going all the queue times, even the early magic hour. It's so
yeah.
I'm like, all right, what's this about? And my friend, she went and, you know, enjoyed it. I went on it and I was like, oh, is that it? Like, it looked nice, but I just think it needs a bit of redoing a bit. I think it maybe needs to go a bit faster, or they need to add some more bits to it. I don't know what it is. There's just something missing there for me.
It's funny you should say that, because to be honest, I did go on it on my most recent trip during Magic Hours, and it took up the whole Magic Hours queuing for it. I didn't really regret it. I enjoyed going on it. It was good. But the one in Disney World, Walt Disney World, has just had a refurb because it had a scene changed that isn't perhaps politically correct anymore. Yeah. And I think during that, they probably also oiled up the hinges a bit, because Paris felt a little bit clunky when you were kind of going around. And one thing I will say about Disneyland Paris is that the cast members need to do the pixie dust thing that they do in Walt Disney World. You know, the bar comes down on its own, doesn't it? No, it doesn't actually. No, that's it's magic. It's magic. Right. So as you're getting towards the end, the cast member will have they'll go into the pocket and they'll just sprinkle on the lap bar, and then it comes down itself. And I was waiting for it to happen in Paris and it didn't. And I was like, oh, there goes the magic. No, I'm joking. It's just a little thing, but yeah, it's the details sometimes, isn't it? When they did it in Walt Disney World, I absolutely loved it. That's a fair shout. What about, in fact, no, Joe, I don't want to leave you in silence for all this time. I don't want Princess Jasmine you. what would you like to refurb?
I've been thinking about this all week. On what I could, if I could refurb anything, what would it be? And it's tough to say, because I love a lot of the rides.
I know. You just want to make it better. That's all.
If I could make a ride better, it would be. Let's go for it. That was my first thought. Star Tours.
Okay, what would you do?
I think, obviously, they're adding a lot more scenes and things like that now with the Mandalorian series coming out and Ahsoka. But I just think the ride vehicle itself, it just could be made better. Mm-hmm. Almost sort of like, you know, you got Smuggler's Run, where you're in the cockpit of the Falcon.
Yes.
Something a bit cooler, you know, because flying the Falcon is a completely different feeling to what Star Tours is.
Yeah.
I understand the premise of Star Tours is a travel agency and all of that, but I don't know, I just love to see it updated a bit better. Or is it?
I'd like for it to make me feel less sick.
Yeah.
It does when I go on it. I don't know what that is. It's probably a sign of me getting older rather than the ride. But that and like Simpsons and like Transformers and stuff like that was fine for Spider-Man, but them simulator rides now they can knock me, and Star Tours was one that did. Yeah. And that kind of like at least three quarters of the way through the ride, I'm thinking, I can't wait for this to end. Not because the ride's bad, just purely for my sake, because I'm like, I don't want to throw up on these people.
I just thought of a better answer. Don't worry.
No, throw it in.
Space Mountain.
Which one?
Walt Disney World.
Yeah. That feels like the Wild Mouse.
Desperately needs a refurb, because you go around like bends on that thing and you just feel like you're stiff as a board.
You like feel like you're gonna fall out. Yeah. Like you literally feel like
you're like, do I put my hands up? You're like,
I'm 6'5" as well, big fella. So yeah. I do not, it is not graceful getting in or out of them things. And in all fairness, that is something that Paris certainly has better than Walt Disney World. And I know it's an opening day attraction, and that's probably why they're leaving it as it is until they have to refurb it. Yeah. And I completely understand that. But yeah, it's overdue one, because it's to a point now where it's like, I'll ride it once on a trip to say I've done it that time, but I'm in no rush to get back on it.
It's such a rough experience.
Whereas Space Mountain in Disneyland Paris is like, I get off it and I'm like, hey, let's do that again. Yeah. So yeah, it's really, really, really good. Okay, so Space Mountain, not Star Tours.
Yeah, let's go Space Mountain.
Space Mountain in Magic Kingdom.
That's in desperate need.
Fair enough.
Of the refurb more than Star Tours is.
And Jack, retheme. What are you retheming?
So this just come to me in my last answer. The Indiana Jones ride in Disneyland Paris.
Okay. What are you retheming it to?
Don't know, but it needs a retheme.
Okay, all right.
You know what? I don't know. I just feel like it seems really not too out of place, but it kind of fits into the vibe, but it doesn't. Like, it's just, I don't know.
I know what you mean. Another one that needs a retheme, I guess, but I wouldn't hate to say it because I love PhilharMagic, is like, why is that in next to Space Mountain? That is bizarre. Like that should be in Fantasyland, like it is in Magic Kingdom. I was like, why is it all the way down here? Like, this seems bizarre. It's completely out of place. But no, fair enough. I do disagree on that one, just because I love Indiana Jones, and I only realized on this trip that it's the Temple of Doom, which is my favorite Indiana Jones film. So I was like, oh my God, this is actually filmed about my favorite film. And I'd never really realized, because it says Temple of Peril instead of Temple of Doom. And I'm an ignorant English man. I just never put the two. The thing is, I studied French at GCSE, so I really should have thought about that. Temple probably should have been the giveaway, but there you go. Joe, what are you retheming?
Right, so I would retheme this one. I knew straight away. I would retheme the Voyage of the Little Mermaid, and I turn that into a Tangled ride.
Oh right, okay, because it's right next to the thing.
It's not quite, not in
close enough.
Close enough, same sort of area, but yeah, I would change that to a Tangled ride, because we don't have anything like that. Well, in Disney World, anyways, you know, is we've got the toilets. In Walt Disney World for Tangled.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, so it'd be nice to have something which was a bit more like Tokyo, which looks absolutely incredible.
I agree. The one thing that I think you'd lose, which I don't think Disney might want to lose, is the photo op with Ariel in a clam. Like, I feel like they probably want to keep hold of that for as long as they can, because that still has a hefty queue time sometimes. Yeah. I ended up using a Genie Plus Lightning Lane to do
no
it. Only because I can't remember why I bought Genie Plus for the day
and
I didn't end up needing to use it and stuff, and I just had one left and I was like, well, I'm not queuing 45 minutes to meet Ariel in a clan, but I do want the photo. So but I agree. I think like if you replace that with a meet and greet with Rapunzel and Flynn, I think that would, people would be okay with that. So yeah, I completely agree. That would be fantastic. But I'm on board with that. And now replace. So now you have to bring the demolition team in, Jack. What are you knocking down? What are you putting in its place?
So I've given a lot of love to this ride, especially the people, you know, that have hated on it. I'm knocking down cars. But in Paris, so for
the road trip.
The road trip.
Yeah.
So I've always defended it because I do enjoy it. My feet always hurt because I get knackered so easily. So sometimes I'll just go on it to just relax. Mm-hmm. And I do actually really enjoy the ride, but it needs to be knocked down.
Not much to knock down, to be fair.
Oh, yeah, there isn't much to knock down. I think the whole area just needs redoing. It needs expanding properly. It needs to be a proper cars land, like the one in, well, obviously they won't do the one like the California, but something similar. And I think they just need to make it a lot more cooler. And while I'm on that topic, I think they need to also add Monsters Inc.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of studios, I think. Opportunities.
Yeah, I completely agree. I wonder whether they'll do it with them having. You'll be happy in a few years once you go to Magic Kingdom, to be fair, because they're gonna have a Cars Land, and then there'll be a Monsters Inc. Land in Hollywood Studios. So I wonder whether they're gonna bring them over or leave them over there. The bizarre one to me still is Lion King not being in Animal Kingdom and being in Paris. Water ride in Paris in January is bizarre. It's gonna freeze.
Yeah,
it's literally going to freeze.
It's gonna be horrible to ride in the winter.
Maybe they can make it not splash as much, but it looks like a kind of, well, we're talking about retheme. It looks like a retheme of a Tiana's or a Splash Mountain, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, but no, they're fair. Like I love the Cars road trip, but the amount of space it takes up, something so much better could be in there. Like there could be a land in the space that like it drives around probably. And Catastrophe Canyon is great. It's a throwback to the backlot tour from MGM Studios. Shout out, by the way. Got a clapperboard up there for MGM. So it was nice to see that. But after I'd done it once, I was like, glad I've done it now. And it can, I'd rather see something more use of the space. So yeah, I completely agree there. And Joe?
It's hard to not say the exact same thing, just because like you just said, the space, it could be used for so much more, I feel. Mm-hmm. But to try and stay different, I think it's not a ride or anything like that, but it's the Star Wars launch bay in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
I just think that area could have been used for something much more. I honestly thought that area was going to be turned into the Monsters, Inc. Monstropolis.
Yeah, me too.
And obviously keep Muppet Vision, because Muppet Vision is always a must, and it's been a part of every single one of my Walt Disney World trips.
Mm-hmm.
Since I've been going since I was like 4 or 5. And to see that go is quite upsetting. So I, you know, that's the reason why I would choose to sort of get rid of the launch bay area.
I agree.
I think they, and be able to keep Muppets, because
how they've avoided that is mental to me.
Yeah.
How Star Wars launch bay survived and Muppets Courtyard is going is crazy. But I think there's a theory that I've spoke about with my friend Luis. And so, you know, the villain show that's going in Hollywood Studios right now where the Cars show was. So that, I think we'll do a limited run of that. And then once Villains Land is built, I think that show will find its way over to Villains Land, and then there'll be an empty theater right next to the Muppets Rock and Roller Coaster that hopefully they might think about putting Muppets 3D in, even if it's just limited runs of it, and like they change up the show that's in it, or they could have a full-on Muppets Courtyard, because when they were going to do that, I thought when they were retheming Rock and Roller Coaster or what have you, I thought they could have put like a villain's theme on that with it being right next to Tower of Terror, yeah. And then doing a villain show and have a little mini villains land in Hollywood Studios kind of thing. But obviously they're going with psychedelic Muppets instead. And that does look like fun. I think if they've got the Muppets singing rock and roll versions of Disney songs, I am all on board. And you get a different song every time, like Guardians and stuff, yeah, like that. I am 100% on board for that. And the story is that you've got to get the Muppets to the concert rather than Aerosmith, yeah, and stuff. I think it will be fun. And I think Aerosmith is probably, it's probably time to go. So that's all fair, all fair. No big disagreements from me. There's some really nice kind of little segments of Cars in Disneyland Paris, but not the road trip. I think like Flo's and the Luigi's Tire Shop and stuff like that. Yeah. It's still quite a nice ambiance in the evening when all the neons light up and stuff, but that's just so much space that they could be doing like that. I don't think that would survive in Walt Disney World. They would have made much more use of that space a long time ago. I completely agree. And right, Main Street Confessions. So this, just share a funny, awkward, or unforgettable theme park experience that you've had. Doesn't have to be Disney, but obviously it probably will be. Something that is gone down either unforgettable for maybe not the right reasons. So I'll share one with you. I don't know how many times I can do this, but you guys have caught me early in the run of this season, so I can think of one. When me and Jay met Princess Jasmine and Aladdin at Walt Disney World in Magic Kingdom, they asked us how we met, and we met on Tinder. And we said that to them, and Aladdin broke character and laughed. And then Jasmine said to us, "All the genies told me about that marketplace." How funny is that? So like the photos, you can kind of see us like, I'm like, yeah, laughing, and Aladdin's like laughing. That was one that always sticks out for me from the most recent Orlando trip. But Joe, what about yourself?
So an unforgettable thing for me, on my most recent trip, as most things have been, the first time riding Tower of Terror for the trip, it broke down.
Right.
And it broke down after a drop, and we were stuck in the Florida humidity in this, well, it's an elevator shaft, you know, and it was hot, and we was in there for about 25-30 minutes, and it was, you know, you start making friends with everybody who sort of like sat down in the ride vehicles. It was really, it was a lot of fun in that sense, because, you know, you start talking about everybody around you, and then you're like, oh, what if, imagine they just drop us now. It resulted in us going back around again, you know, didn't have to queue or anything like that. But that was an unforgettable experience.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. I've always wanted to kind of, which sounds mad, but Tower of Terror is one of the ones that I've always wanted to kind of get stuck on, because I think it's not that uncomfortable. Like, I was on Crush's Coaster, and, you know, I went up the kind of the climb backwards, and I was like, this would be the worst place to get stuck. I'm just staring down a drop, and I was like, I would just be worried the whole time that like the mechanism is going to release, and we're just going to go sliding down face first. But no, that's great. Jack, what about yourself?
So mine's a character meet like yours. It's a bit of a weird one, because I still don't understand what actually happened.
Oh, that's always good.
So I met Baloo, and it's hard to explain, but when we met him, I think he was trying to tell me to put, I thought he was trying to tell me to pull his like bear costume down. And right, so for about 5 minutes, I'm going like this, kind of putting his thing down. And then the cast member's looking at me like, why are you trying to put his things down?
Oh dear.
I'm not. I just thought that's what he said. And he's pointing out my ears instead. And I'm like, there's all the photos of me going, what?
Oh,
like,
no.
I'm not talking about it, because we can't talk. So I'm literally going, I'm wetting myself because I have no idea what's going on.
That's brilliant.
And, like, I'll have to show you guys the photos afterwards, but there's just a photo of me going, like, pulling down his, like, top like that. One minute, because he was going. And I don't know.
It is difficult sometimes, though. I've been in similar situations. Like, have we got there in the end? But I was with Sully, and he asks you to tell him a joke sometimes, and he pretends he's got a microphone, so he keeps like hitting his hand and then holding it to you, and I just kept high-fiving him. I had no idea what was going on. And then the cast member was like, oh, he wants you to tell a joke. I was like, oh right, okay, I get you. And yeah, that was great. But it is funny because you find yourself in them situations. You're like, I don't know what to do. And I just feel like I'm just like running off. But then you don't want to do that either. But that's brilliant. I've never had to dress a character. So that is something that you've got over me for sure.
So I thought he was trying to ask me to like cover up something, and it just wasn't really moving. I'm just, there's just me going like that on the fabric. And then afterwards he just went, like, shook his head at me.
Oh, no. Oh, disapproving look from Baloo.
You know what, Baloo? At least I tried.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a fun meet.
Yeah, it's a memory. Yeah. And you've just relived it now, so thank you for that. James, we are going to close out soon. I've just got a couple of quick fire questions for you, and I'm going to do different ones for each of you. I'm going to try and think of a film, a character, and maybe a ride. That's what I'll do. And you've got to pick this or that, right? Jack, I'll start with you. Character, and I'm not going to be nice. Who's your favourite, Cinderella or Gus?
Oh, Cinderella.
Is it? Right. See, I'm Gus all day. I love the film, but Gus is 100% the highlight for me.
So I would say the same, but Cinderella 3, which I always shout about, is the best Cinderella film.
Yeah, you know what? Jay is in complete agreement with you there. She's told me many times that it is a very, very underrated Disney sequel.
So good.
And they're totally out there, so I believe you. I'll have to watch it. I've not actually watched it. Joe, what did I give you then, Jack? I give you characters, right? Yeah. Okay, Joe, bit different for you. Steamboat Willie or Sorcerer Mickey?
Oh, that's so tough.
I know. You've literally got both of them in your background. I didn't even realize that.
But I'll go with Steamboat Willie, because I've got him tattooed on my leg.
Oh, right, fair enough. Yeah, you kind of have to.
I love both, and I do plan to get, you know, Sorcerer Mickey hat somewhere tattooed on me with the brooms, because I just love that whole sequence. Yeah. But yes, it's Steamboat Willie. He's the one that started it all.
I did a poll on my Instagram a long time ago now, actually, kind of back when I first started it. But I think like 500 people entered it. Something like that, and it was like the favorite design of Mickey Mouse. So it was like, you know, the 90s one that we all kind of know and grew up with. But wearing red, and this one, and then the new design, and Sorcerer Mickey and Steamboat Willie were way, way, way in front. I think Sorcerer Mickey ended up winning ever so slightly, and I don't think it's because of Fantasia. I do think it's because of Fantasmic, but. Which is bizarre, because I always say this, he only wears it for like a minute and a half that he's wearing that outfit. But I love that. I think it's the color sequence for me. Like I love that there's like that dash of red, and I love the blue hat, but Steamboat Willie is iconic. Most of the day, you'll just hear me walking around the house whistling this song. I won't do it now because it won't be nice through the mic, but, okay, a film. I'm not going to include Cinderella 3, Jack, because you've already said that one sticks out way in front. I'm going to go somewhere a little bit different. Aladdin or The Lion King?
Going to be controversial.
Okay.
Both aren't really my favourite.
Okay, so this might not be that hard for you then. Or do you dislike them both equally, so it's still difficult?
So, okay. The problem I've got is I know them more because of Kingdom Hearts.
Okay.
In terms of as actual films, I'm going to say Aladdin.
Ooh, I think that'll be a controversial opinion, you know.
It's it only because, right, I love, like, you know, like, baby Simba and stuff, and I think Simba's so cute. Like, love Simba, and I love, you know, the animals and all of that. But if I was going to sit down and watch a film, and I was genuinely forced to, like, pick one to watch right then, I'd be like, okay, fine, I'll watch Aladdin.
Yeah, because it doesn't make you cry like Lion King does. Yeah, that's what it is for me. Like, I have to be ready to watch Lion King because I'm like, right, okay, this is gonna be an experience. And I watched the live action one not that long ago because I watched Mufasa last night or the night before. So I just wanted, you know, fresh. I already know the story, but like I had to get myself ready. Like, whoa, this is gonna be rough. Aladdin, it's tough for me. I don't have to choose though, so I'm not going to. Joe. The one I'm definitely throwing in is Hercules, and the other one that I'm trying to throw in is something that you like as much as that. And I don't know if there is anything that you like as much as that. I'm sure there is, but it's not one that I know of. Only thing that I know that you like. Hercules or Goodfellas. No, I'm joking. No, I won't do that to you. Yeah. Right, okay. Emperor's New Groove or Hercules?
Oh, Hercules all the way.
Is it? Right, that's okay.
Easy. I love Emperor's New Groove, but I watch Hercules nearly twice a week, you know.
I thought it was going to be hard for me to find one that you can compare with it, because I know that Go the Distance is your favorite song. Very, very likewise to myself. Yeah. Actually, you know what? I am going to say it. Hercules or Coco?
Oh, man.
That makes it harder. That's right. I've done my research. I saw the characters. I saw your favorite songs. Yeah. Coco or Hercules?
That one's tougher because Coco is a wonderful film and is all about family and the importance of family. And the songs are brilliant. And, you know, Remember Me and Un Poco Loco. But I think I got to stick with Hercules.
I would as well. I 100% would as well. So I can't disagree. And you know what? The last one I'm going to throw to both of you. You have to pick between, and I'm going to be savage as well, because this is keep one and lose one. This isn't this or that. Pirates of the Caribbean or Haunted Mansion? Which one would you keep and which one would you lose?
Jordy, it was lovely talking to you.
No. You've got to say, okay, fine. You don't have to lose it, but this or that. Which one do you prefer?
Oh, I still can't do that.
You're going to have to. Because we've not got all night, but I'm not letting you go.
For everybody don't know, this is actually an 8-hour recording. I've been stuck on this question.
Yeah, no, I asked him it at the start, and then I was like, right, we'll do the rest of the podcast, Joe, and then I am coming back to that question. Jack, any easier for you, this or that? Haunted Mansion, Pirates of the Caribbean?
This is going to be a lot of them and an hour in. Wow, this is a toughie.
Right, okay. I'm gonna rip the
Yeah, do it
off.
Quick, do it painless.
I'm gonna go Haunted Mansion.
And it's not painless and it's not quick because it's recorded and everyone will be there. It'll be there for everyone to listen to for the rest of time. I think I would be inclined to maybe agree. I don't know. What about you, Jack?
It's so tough.
Pirates.
You'd get rid of Pirates and keep Haunted Mansion.
Oh no. The other. I'd keep Pirates.
Right, you'd keep Pirates. Is that the same as you, Joe?
Yeah.
Right, no, that's good. Yeah. I think we're all on the same page there.
Yeah.
Do you know what keeps it for me? It is the film franchise is better than anything Haunted Mansion film-wise has ever. Not that I'm not a fan of them. And there's that feeling of weightlessness when the boat goes onto the water and the smell of the water. Yeah. Haunted Mansion has its things as well, for sure, but I think I'm with you on that.
I all like the thing with Pirates as well is one of Walt's last rides that he worked on. You know, and I think that holds such a special place.
They're both Walt rides as well, though, to be fair, them two. So I've thrown nasty ones at you. But in fact, we'll leave the show on that. But before we go, obviously, I just want to say thank you to both of you. This one has been a little bit longer, and we did anticipate that with there being two guests rather than just the one. But we've had plenty to talk about. I don't think we've been stuck for things to talk about, and I think we could probably go on for another hour. But we'll leave that for another episode. We'll leave that for another time. But is there anything, which obviously we shouted out at the start, anything that you get, what are you guys working on? What can people shout out your Instagram handles and let us know what's coming? Joe, you go. Because otherwise we'll be stuck here and everyone will be in silence going, no, you go.
Yeah, so obviously my handle's at Joe with the years. But yeah, me and Jack are working on a lot of things behind the scenes, which a lot of you guys don't know about, with at 2 years, one mic, our podcast. We've finished recording our first, possibly our second, depending on when this goes out. So that's all really exciting. A lot of fun stuff to come with that. And obviously, Geordie, we'll be wanting you on soon to obviously...
You turn the tables around on me.
Yeah.
I know, I should have thought about this actually when I started throwing all them savage questions.
Yeah, but, you get to listen and don't judge, because I only judge silently.
I totally should have. I should have done it second. But no, yeah, like I say, Joe, it's been great to talk to you. Great to get to know you. And Jack, yourself.
Yeah, so you can find me at Disney Character on Instagram and TikTok. And as Joe said, we've got loads of exciting things coming up on the 2 Years, One Mic podcast. I think one of the other main things we're planning is the summer meetup for anyone that is interested. It's going to be a really fun day. It's on the 26th of July. It's a Saturday. And we're going to do like a picnic in the park where we're going to do pin trading. We're going to do a live giveaway. We're going to visit the Disney store, and it's all just going to be really nice, wholesome kind of vibes. Everyone gets to know each other. So if anyone's interested.
July as well, warmer.
July is warmer. So
well, you never know what's going to be cold.
Yeah, sitting outside won't be as much of an issue for sure.
Yeah, oh God, that's the last thing we need.
Absolutely. And like I say, I hope to be there. Anyone that's listening, I hope to see you there if I can make it. But these two will definitely be there. So regardless of whether I can make my way from the north down to London, down to King's Landing, but I will certainly give it a go. But like I say, regardless of that, these two and many, many other Disney people, Disney creators in the UK community will be there. And it'll be an awesome, awesome day. I'm sure, and I'm gutted if I don't make it. But like I say, this is the end. We've delved deep. We've discovered the magic within these two great guys. Like I say, I've learned a lot. There's a lot that I can relate to, which is really, really nice. And yeah, I guess that's it. I hope you all enjoyed watching, and we'll see you again for the next episode of The Magic Within. I would love to be able to tell you who is the next guest, and I would love to be able to tell you when the next episode is releasing. But for now, you're just going to have to trust me and know that it will happen and it will come. okay, thanks very much. I'll see you real soon, and have a magical day.